Well, good evening. How are you tonight? Doing all right? Okay. So far, yeah. Well, that might change. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for tonight. Thank you for your guidance of us through your word, your teaching of us through your word. And Lord, we thank you for creation tonight as well. Just the things that we can look at around us, ordinary things, things that we see every day, and be able to see you in them. Lord, I do pray for our time of study tonight as we look at things not only in your word but outside of your word, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us. And just increase our faith. Lord, build it. We just want to trust you. We know that we can, but Lord, we are weak. We are feeble. We are doubters by nature. So Lord, I pray that you would grow our faith so that we could accomplish wonderful things for you. Thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we're going to leave the topic of theistic evolution and move on to the topic of biology. And as we progress through this, we're going to, you're probably already starting to see, we're looking a little bit more at internal evidences and less at external evidences. And tonight's lesson will be a little bit of a transition in that regard, too. But we're going to look at biology from kind of a wide variety of perspectives tonight. Basically, everything we're going to talk about revolves around life, the miracle of life. Biology is the study of that, the study of life. And life, of course, as the Bible says, as God tells us, was created by him. So let's go ahead and start by turning to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. So a wonderful psalm in general, but there is a specific phrase, or I should say sentence, maybe even a paragraph in it that speaks volumes about God and him being the source of life. Psalm 100 says this, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations." Now, even in a culture today, 3,000 years approximately since these words right here were written, his truth has endured. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. And as I read that line in particular, it's almost as if God knew that the theory of evolution would be a thing. And here he is, 3,000 years ago, saying it's God that made us, not we ourselves. And evolution really is based in a theory that, you know, we are self-creating. We naturally evolve into other things. However, we are told very plainly here that life was created by God. But man has rejected his creator. In fact, we touched on this passage Sunday morning in our communion service. John chapter 1 is a has some sad parts to it. Okay, John chapter 1. The Apostle John that wrote this, the whole purpose really of the first 18 verses of John chapter 1 is to introduce us to Jesus. And it says this in verses 1 through 14. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And if you want to drop right down to verse 17, we finally learn the name of this Word, this Creator, this one who came to his own and his own did not receive him. Verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." So the very life, the very people that God has created through Jesus Christ has rejected their Creator and in turn worship creation. Okay? You don't have to turn there, but Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 talks about these people, talks about you and I even before we knew who Jesus was. It talks about the fact that through creation, people could know the Creator. But in verses 22 through 25, it talks about those who refused the truth. And it says, "Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Well, as a result of man rejecting his Creator and worshiping creation, he has come up with a very foolish religion, a religion really that forces him to lie to himself and forces those in the field even of biology to lie to the public. Evolution of life is that religion. And currently, evolution of life is the most widely accepted religion in the world. Okay? And so tonight, we're going to look at a few things about life on this planet that are really rarely made known to the public. We've talked about several sciences already. We've talked about the science of astronomy, geology, paleontology, We discuss many ways that the theories of man, by the very laws of nature, actually disprove themselves, and biology is the same. As we look at what biology is and what it's based on, we're going to see that evolutional biology, okay, in fact, I'm going to show you a video clip here in a minute, disproves itself. It disproves itself. We don't even have to argue it. All we have to do is point out what they say. Now, again, I have to tell you, I'm all for science. I love science. Science is the knowledge of facts gained through observation and experimentation. It's the discovery of truth through observed evidence. However, much of the science world today proclaims something to be true, a theory, a religion. They believe in it blindly because there is no real evidence. But they proclaim something to be true and then try to make the evidence fit what they want to believe. They try to make it fit their theory. And, you know, we've mentioned this before, that's not science. That's manipulation. That's deception. That's futility. The science world knows just how impossible evolution is, but to make it believable, they generate these huge amounts of time, and the time gets longer and longer. According to the theory of evolution, our solar system, and listen to this for a minute, okay? According to the theory of evolution, our solar system is about a half a billion years older now than it was when I was a kid. All right, it is. They think that time is this magical thing that's going to fix the problems that they find. They know that one thing can't evolve into another. So they think if they give it enough time, they can make it work or at least believable. I think I mentioned this last week, but it was actually Norman Geisler. He used this illustration to basically drown the argument of billions of years of time that make evolution a viable scientific theory. He said, dropping red, white, and blue confetti from an airplane at 1,000 feet above the ground will not produce an American flag in one's yard. And going up to 10,000 feet and giving it more time to fall will not help. Time as such does not organize things into more complex designs. It actually further randomizes the material. And the theory of life through evolution states that things can become. In fact, if you were to go to Webster's Dictionary right now and look up evolution, it will tell you that it is the simple becoming complex over time. That's the theory of evolution. But that's not how the world works. So let's look at a few observable facts that actually contradict the, I'm going to call it the religion of evolution of life, because it is religion. In fact, it was Frank Turek. Have you heard of Frank Turek? Look him up online sometime. But he said he doesn't have enough faith to be an atheist. And doesn't have enough faith to be an evolutionist, okay? Let's look at a few observable facts. And I can't remember how many I've actually got here for you tonight, 6, 7, something like that. But number one is time does not help the theory of evolution. Time does not help the theory of evolution. Of course, I just gave you that illustration, but the theory, this theory of evolution over long periods of time actually contradicts other scientific laws. Now, there's hypothesis, right? There's theories, and then there's laws. And theories can be something that we can base problems on and try to figure things out. But laws are actual proven facts. We observe something that happens over and over and over again. In fact, it never fails. That becomes a law. Well, time does not help the theory of evolution because it contradicts scientific laws that pertain to time. A law is a truth that has been proven through scientific observation and experimentation. It is a proven universal fact. That's what a law is. Well, here's a law. The second law of thermodynamics. And I'm not going to, there's a lot to it. Okay, there's a lot to that law, but in a nutshell, it basically states that everything left to itself in time will break down into less complex parts. It's basically the law of decay, decline, and degeneration. This law is why you and I age. It's why our cells oxidize, is why our eyesight gets worse. It's why our bones get brittle. It's why your car, if left to itself outside with no outside influence, will eventually rust right into the ground. All right? The second law of thermodynamics was established and confirmed by God. In fact, he even talks about it. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Now, Jesus' purpose isn't to describe or teach the second law of thermodynamics, but here he is talking about it in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. See, Jesus understood this. This is a law. This is a law. That's the second law of thermodynamics. Time does not help the theory of evolution. Secondly, life by design is proven. It is a law, okay? In fact, we're going to look at some biology laws in just a minute, or actually one biology law in just a minute. But life by design is proven but rejected. I want to show you a video here. Do you know who Richard Dawkins is? Okay. Richard Dawkins, and he's actually interviewing an evolutionary biologist named Randolph Nessie. And this is, I'm only going to show you like 3 minutes of what I believe is an hour-long interview. And it's only the very first 3 minutes of the interview. But I think it's enough. It's enough. So anyway, here it is.
Randy, you and I are both Darwinians, obviously, but you're a medical doctor and I'm not. It's always struck me that a lot of medical doctors don't seem quite to have caught up 150 years after the origin. Is that your impression too?
They're all very interested once they find out about it. But very few doctors have had a chance to get an education in evolutionary biology. And boy, do I ever wish I had when I was to get my medical education. There are so many things that would have made a lot more sense if someone just really explained how natural selection works.
there are some doctors who feel, well, all I need to do then is to learn about a lot of other animals and die as a vet. But it's not quite like that, is it?
No, we really need to know where they all came from and why they're all designed in ways that make things go wrong.
So use the word design there, and we need to obviously to interpret that in a special Darwinian sense.
You know, I always end up using the word design, and someone in the audience always said, you shouldn't do that, Dr. Nancy, because you don't really mean design. And they're absolutely right, of course.
Well, yeah, we've heard enough of that now.
But when you look at how the mechanisms of the body work, it's almost automatic to talk about them being designed. What really gives the proof is when you look at how badly designed they are. No sensible person would have ever left the body the way it is.
Like what? What's a good example of that?
Name your part of the body that you want to. Probably a lot of people watching this show have been on a skateboard. And, for instance, they fall like this, and they break these bones here. The doctors call it a Colles fracture. If you look at a skeleton, it's these two bones fracture right there. Now, people have been falling down like that for, a million years, or our predecessors have. Why didn't natural selection make these bones thicker? And the answer is this. We can do this marvelous thing of rotating our arms all the way around like that. I won't do it for this model because it's a Victorian skeleton. But notice how those bones go across each other. If those bones were thicker, it would be more like this. And then you couldn't throw. So it's a trade-off, isn't it? Now this is something that any machine would be limited by. But when they make robots, they still are not using two different firm rods usually. There's usually one that rotates.
Okay, so it's kind of historical legacy there.
That's the other part of it. Yes, exactly. Historical legacy. The technical term is path dependence. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of viewers have a keyboard for their computer. Like we all have what's called a QWERTY keyboard. And that keyboard was designed specifically to keep temporary keys from sticking. And so they put all the vowels a fair way away from each other, so there's a little delay. Well, this means we all type slowly because our keyboards are designed to make us
type slowly. Better designed than
keyboards. There are. Let's keep up with the Dvorak.
Yes, and once you've learned how to do it, you go faster, don't you?
You first. I would think the time it takes
to learn. Exactly. I'd never do that.
I think the world may be stuck with these mal-designed keyboards for another 100 years just because they started off that way and the cost of changing is too high for all of us who are stuck with it. Likewise, there are all kinds of aspects of the body that might be done differently, but we've gone down one particular path and can't get out of it.
And the example I like to use in machines is imagine if you had to evolve the jet engine or the propeller engine by changing it one little step at a time.
Not possible.
Well, if you did, you could pretty lousy jet engines.
Exactly so.
What?
All right. That's it. Okay, like I said, that's part of an hour-long interview. But here is what I heard. Here's what he said in a nutshell. Biology looks designed, functions as designed, and change through evolution is impossible. He said that. He said that he used that jet engine. They both agreed that for a jet engine to, or a prop engine to evolve into a jet engine is impossible. But I guess the thing that bothered me the most was when he said our arm was designed poorly, but then went on to describe the incredible, I think he may have used the word magnificent, benefits of the way it works. Anyway, just curious, what are your thoughts there? What? Tyler.
I love how he says, just naturally, you want to see design.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not what it is.
Right. And I've actually watched the entire interview, and he keeps doing it throughout the whole hour. They're looking at all kinds of different things. And at one point, Richard Dawkins is actually getting a little frustrated with him that he keeps using the word design, okay? Well, if it looks designed, it's probably designed. And life by design is proven but rejected. In Job 33:4, it says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." So life by design is scientifically proven every day by doctors all over the world, but it is rejected. And that's exactly what it is, rejected. What did he say about the word design? That we have to define it in a special way. Why? If it's designed, it's designed. Okay? Here's number three. Life can't evolve from non-life. While they, the evolutionary biologists and then that whole realm there, they want to believe it can, again, it contradicts the laws of nature, and they know it. Even the world-renowned physicist Stephen Hawking has said that the laws of nature could not have existed prior to the supposed Big Bang because the Big Bang contradicts the laws of nature. Well, so does life evolving from non-life. Does anybody here know the laws of biology? There are three of them. I didn't. I'm just curious if anybody know what the laws of biology are. There's three basic ones. All right. And I'm just going to give you the first. But a law, again, is a truth that has been proven through scientific observation and experimentation. It is a proven and universal fact. That's a law. Now, we talked about already the second law of thermodynamics. Things left to themselves over time deteriorate. And that is an observable, proven law. Well, I just recently learned this, and it was kind of, well, it was very interesting to me. But here is the first law of biology. The first law of biology is all living organisms obey the laws of thermodynamics. Does that, maybe it just hit me, I don't know. But here they have a law of biology, and they're trying to fit this evolutionary theory into it. But it has to, by their own law, they say it has to obey the law of thermodynamics. This is true in all living things in nature. The first law of biology is life degrades, it decays into non-life. And so by the very laws of nature, non-life cannot become life. All life must come from life. Turn to Acts, if you will. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and let's look at verses 24 through 28. He says there, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might find, that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, so also, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We even learn here that God designed life in such a way that when we see design, and know that there must be a designer, the purpose of that is so that we will seek out, grope for, and find that designer, find him. All life has to come from life. Along with that, all design must have a designer. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God." Again, if it looks designed and functions as designed, it must be designed. Take, for instance, that plant over there. Is that real or fake? Okay, it is fake. Did it happen by accident or on purpose? Okay, all right. Let's say, I'm not going to grab a plant from outside, but there is a plant right outside that window. Is it fake or real? Okay. Is it more or less complex than that one? In what ways? Okay. Yet, evolutionary science will say that's accident, that's on purpose. Okay? And it's completely backwards. All design must have a designer. If that's on purpose, there's absolutely no doubt that that plant outside is on purpose. Okay? It has a designer. A system by nature, by definition. In fact, in our video, he talked, when he got away from the word design, what word did he use? Mechanism. Okay? Something that is mechanically assembled, a mechanism. A system by nature, by definition, is an assemblage of parts functioning together as a whole. A system is something that has been made by design. We have nervous systems, circulatory systems, skeletal systems, muscular systems, digestive systems. We have in our house flooring systems, wall systems, roof systems, electrical systems, ventilation systems, water and sewage systems. Every house is built by someone, and he who built all things is God. All design must have a designer, and all intelligence must have an imprint. What is this made of? Okay, some silicone. What else is here?
Metal.
Some metal. Some plastic. All right. But without an imprint, a program put into it, without electricity or power put into it, that's all it is plastic, metal, and silicone. All right. All intelligence must have an imprint. Until software is installed and power is applied, it's just a box of stuff. That's all it is. And while this illustration fails a bit in comparison to us as living beings, know too that intellect, emotion, and will cannot evolve from dirt. It cannot evolve even from mere life. Plants don't have intellect, emotion, will. Humanity is unique. It's the most unique of all life. We're not the fittest species, yet humanity dominates the world. If evolution were true, why is there not at least one other species that has built a wheel or a chair or fire? Why isn't there at least one other species that has challenged humanity? Humanity is unique. He is the only species created with intellect, emotion, and will. And that's God's imprint. Genesis 1:27 says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him." All right, so Time doesn't help the theory of evolution. Life by design is proven but rejected. Life can evolve from non-life. We looked at several reasons why. And then number four, there is no evidence of species evolving into other species. If, as evolutionists say, whales evolved from cows, we should have hundreds of transitionary fossils somewhere between a cow and a whale. In fact, the fossil record should contain hundreds of times more transitionary fossils than from one species to another than that of one species and another. All right, I learned this illustration from my older brother. He had a ruler, and what he did is he put a cow on one side, not a real one, and a whale on the other, not a real one. All right, and we find fossils of cows, we find fossils of whales, but we don't find anything in between. And there would have to be, I don't know how many markations there are on this. I'm trying to do the math real quick. I'm not even going to try, okay? But anyway, in a foot, there's a lot of markations, all right? And if each markation represents one transition, we should at least find one fossil in there, okay? But we don't. We've got nothing like that. There is no evidence of species evolving into other species. There's never been a true transition fossil found. And even the so-called lynx, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more when we get to anthropology, but even the so-called lynx between primate and human are distinctly labeled as either primate or human, okay? They are not finding any transition fossils within species. So there is no evidence of species evolving into other species. And then number five, evolutionary experiments have failed. In fact, there is an experiment that has been going on for a little over 32 years now. It is officially the longest running evolutionary experiment that has ever been attempted. It started in 1988. And what they did, the experiment actually began at Harvard. It's at some other university now. But it's a continuation on simple E. coli bacteria. And in 1988, scientists began growing and manipulating 60,000 generations of this E. coli bacteria. That, they say, is equivalent, because E. coli apparently, its generations come very, very quickly. They say that is equivalent to over 1 million years of human evolution. Well, they started this experiment to see how dramatically they could change E. coli bacteria. And ultimately, they figured in a million years, they could develop an entire new species of E. coli. Well, here we are, 32 years later, 60,000 generations equivalent to 1 million years of human evolution, and it's still E. coli bacteria. Even though they have manipulated, they've thrown everything at it to get it to change, and it is still just E. coli bacteria. It's that simple. It's a simple form of life, too. It's not complex like you and I. And here's the conclusion. I read this in an article. Here's the conclusion that evolutionists have come to. And this is in quotes. Evolution must not work quite like what we thought. You know, instead of saying, maybe, you know, it doesn't work at all, it must not work quite like what we thought. And instead of this experiment being seen as the failure that it is, they're calling it the experiment that changed our view of how evolution works. They won't let it go. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts are darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. All right, lastly tonight, I want to turn the tables just a little bit and look at how God's Word communicates biological knowledge. Now, while there are a lot of facts that the evolutionary world hides and does not clearly communicate, God's Word shows knowledge of biology and life systems even long before man through science was able to discover them. And for the rest of our time tonight, I want to look at some specific passages of Scripture that give us some biological wisdom, again, long before the science world ever knew these things or discovered them. And we're going to look at God's law a little bit, because God's law actually promotes a healthy life. It allows you and I, through God's law, the Israelites were actually enabled to live longer than the peoples around them. And it's because God invented biology. He knew some things that he could tell them that could give them longevity of life. Now, I want you to know that the main purpose of God's law was not to teach biology and health. Okay? What is the main purpose of God's law? Okay, to glorify him. What are some other reasons for God's law? Okay, show us right from wrong. Anybody know what Romans chapter 3 says about God's law? Let's go to Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, just jump down to verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It does not only tell us what right and wrong is, but it shows us just how far short of God's holiness and standards and righteousness and character that we fall. It shows us how much we are not like God. But within the laws of God, as found in the Old Testament, we also see his design and knowledge of biology. Again, that's not the purpose he gives us the law. The purpose is for us to see just how perfect and pure and holy he is, and in comparison, how we aren't. But within that, we do learn some things about biology. During a time when the average worldwide life expectancy was about 30 to 50 years, God gave the Israelites the enabling to have a longer life. And God's law promotes that. So let's go back to God's law. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verses 12 through 14 says, "Also, you shall have a place outside the camp where you may go out, and you shall have an implement among your equipment. And when you sit down outside, you shall dig with it and turn and cover your refuse. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore your camp shall be holy, that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. So, stopping there for a minute, what's being described there? All right. Going to the bathroom. Going to the bathroom. And what does he say? Where does he say to do it? Outside the camp. Now, again, the main purpose of the law is to show us how holy and pure God is. And he actually talks about that in that third verse that I read there. But with that, we learn something concerning life and health. And that is, sewage needs to be away from us, okay? It's unhealthy to have it in the camp. It can be deadly, a spread of disease. So the first purpose was to show us that God is a holy God, but the secondary purpose is sewage needs to be outside of camp because it's dangerous. All right, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11 and verses 9 and 10. Where are you? There you are. Okay. These you may eat of all that are in the water, whatever in the water has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water, or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you. Now, basically, abomination, he's telling Israelites to avoid them. And again, the main purpose is to demonstrate, I am holy, these are my standards that I'm giving you. But there is a secondary purpose. It's what kind of sea creatures have no fins or scales?
Catfish.
Okay. Actually, I think catfish, they're microscopic, aren't they? On catfish scales. All right. What other kind of fish don't have scales?
Crawdad,
shellfish, right? And if you think about it, now there's. Catfish might even be, I know they're not shellfish. However, shellfish in general, what do they do? They are the garbage men of the sea. That's what they are. They're the garbage men of the sea. I got to tell you, I love lobster. I love shrimp. So aside from God saying so, if these creatures are not prepared in a right way, or perhaps if they were to eat something that is unhealthy, that could come upon us. They are, as someone said, bottom feeders, and basically eat the refuse of other fish. What do catfish eat? All right, that's what I was thinking. Okay, all right. These are like the rodents of the land, which, by the way, God also says that Israel should not eat, along with pigs and their kind, because they scavenge. They eat lots of things that are unhealthy. And if a person were to eat that kind of animal and it was not properly prepared or watched after as to what it did eat, it could be very dangerous to their health. In fact, rodents and pigs and the like are prone to parasites and disease. And today we know that there must be special precautions in preparing these meats, along with rabbits. Even today, as far advanced as we've come in the area of things that are healthy and things that are unhealthy, in less civilized countries, 10,000 people a year get trichinosis. You know what trichinosis is? It's from eating bad pork. Pork that isn't prepared well or pork that hasn't been raised well. Hundreds of people die. Leviticus chapter, we're still there, verses 13 through 19. And these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, the falcon after its kind, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, the hawk after its kind, the little owl, the fisher owl. I can go on and on. But anyway, these are all... What do they eat, by the way?
Other animals.
Oftentimes, the other animals that God says not to eat. Right? Okay? So there's a connection there. And while, again, while the main point that God is making here is, I'm holy, I'm righteous, these are my standards, these are my this is my character, we get this secondary benefit from it, and it shows that God understands biology. He understands health. Richard.
Well, we have a current occurrence going on.
A what?
A current occurrence. Disease. Virus.
Yeah.
Coronavirus.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, from a bat. And bats are listed here. Yep. It's a stop too soon, didn't I? Verse 19, I think. Yeah, and the bat. Yep. Right. Yep. Well, that's the... I heard that there are actually people that believe there was a connection between Corona beer and the coronavirus. And I even heard that their beer sales have declined a little bit. All right. Let's see what else I got here. Yeah, we got time. Again, you know, there's a lot of things. We could look at some of these things. For instance, lobster and say, why, Lord, do you not want me to eat a lobster? He has his reasons, okay? And the ultimate purpose of the law is to say to his people, I'm a righteous God. This is my standard. This is it, all right? But we're finding that there are these biological benefits to them, and it shows us that God knows exactly what he is talking about, or at least supports that fact. Leviticus 14. Verses 1 through 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and two clean birds, cedarwood, scarlet, hyssop. The priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in the earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Anyway, jump back, go to verse 9. But on the seventh day he shall shave all the hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, all of his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. And again, the point here is, while leprosy is named, it actually refers to any potential contagious disease so that it might not spread. God knew about contagions long before man understood how they worked. What are some of the precautions that we find in those few verses that I read? Where did the priests meet the guy who was outside the camp. So we actually have a little bit of a quarantine situation going on here. We certainly have a cleansing. I don't know if any of you have had the flu this year, but when you finally got over it, did you wash your sheets? Oh, maybe I shouldn't even ask that. You should have, all right? Start over. Get a clean start, and that's what we find here. All right. Another, Numbers 19:11 talks about dead things and the fact that we shouldn't touch them, or he didn't want Israel to touch them. And if they did, they would have to wash really, really well and then stay away from people for 7 days. Are dead people dangerous? Yeah, they can be, yeah. In fact, there is a, I can't remember if it was the Assyrians or the Romans. One of their ancient forms of execution was to take whoever it was they were executing and bind them to a dead person. Was it the Romans? Okay. And yeah, and it, that decomposition would actually eat into the body of the living person. So yeah, it's dangerous. And again, while we know that the laws were first and foremost given to us to show us who God is and His holiness, they do exhibit knowledge, great knowledge of biology. All right, and that is where we're going to end for tonight. But any thoughts on biology, Richard? Oh, really? Okay. I didn't read that one. I read the Neanderthal one, and I found that fascinating, too. It caught my attention because they think that it's an isolated DNA, and they'd never, ever tested people on the African continent to see if they had traces of whatever it was they were looking for, and they do, which tells us we're all related, doesn't it? All right. Anything else?
I'm surprised they put that in the news, considering they have the right to leak out the information that disproves their own
theory. Right, right. Yep. Okay, then. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your infinite knowledge and the fact that by your grace, you reveal some of these things to us, really as a byproduct. You just want us to know you. But as a byproduct, we learn that you are the creator. You are the establisher of all laws, natural. You knew about these things long before man ever did. And we have evidence of that right here in your word. Thank you for growing our faith today in that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.